In today's news headlines, the House Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff says he has reached a deal with the unnamed whistleblower at the heart of the ongoing Ukraine scandal to testify to his panel. The whistleblower's complaint about President Donald Trump's conduct in a July phone call with Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky is the focus of an impeachment inquiry in the House that is proceeding rapidly as Democrats agree to work during their recess. On Friday, House Democrats issued a subpoena for State Secretary Mike Pompeo, who's also been implicated in the scandal, as well as for Kurt Volker, the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, who abruptly resigned from his post last week. Meanwhile, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, when asked if the Senate would take up an impeachment vote, said, quote, "I would have no choice but to take it up based on a Senate rule on impeachment." McConnell has not shown such deference to Senate rules in the past. Sounding increasingly desperate on what he faces, Trump spent the weekend lashing out on Twitter. Among the many warnings and threats he issued was a post quoting a Fox News guest who said, quote, "If the Democrats are successful in removing the president from office, which they will never be, it will cause a civil war-like fracture in this nation from which our country will never heal." He also threatened to have Representative Adam Schiff arrested for casting the president's phone call to Zelensky as similar to the way a mafia boss would make threats during a hearing last week. Trump wrote that Schiff, quote, "illegally made up a fake and terrible statement, pretended it to be mine as the most important part of my call to the Ukrainian president, and read it aloud to Congress and the American people. It bore no relationship to what I said on the call. Arrest for treason?" Question mark. Trump has also demanded to meet with the whistleblower, saying, "I want to meet not only my accuser who presented second and third hand information, but also the person who illegally gave this information, which was largely incorrect, to the whistleblower. Was this person spying on the U.S. president? Big consequences!" Exclamation point. Lawyers representing the whistleblower wrote to the acting director of national intelligence saying they feared for their client's safety. They quoted Trump's earlier threat revealed in a secret recording last week. Reports emerged over the weekend that in addition to hiding the original transcript of Trump's call with Zelensky on a secret server, White House staff also hid transcripts of Trump's calls with Russia's Vladimir Putin and Saudi Arabia's Mohammed bin Salman. Fox News' Chris Wallace revealed over the weekend that Trump had engaged two private lawyers, Joseph DeGeneva and Victoria Tensing, to engage with Ukrainian officials to dig up dirt on his political opponent, Joe Biden. Wallace challenged White House advisor Stephen Miller about the story.
Why did President Trump use his private attorney, Rudy Giuliani, and as we just reported, two other private lawyers to try to dig up dirt from the Ukrainian government on Joe Biden rather than going through his State Department?
First of all, and most importantly, when we keep talking about, quote, digging up dirt, it's an interesting choice of words. One of two things is true, Chris. Either the Ukrainian government or people associated with it possess real and actual knowledge of corrupt dealings by the Biden family, or they don't. If they do, is it not in the interest of all Americans to know what that is?
We're going to get to what the Bidens in a minute, but I've asked you a specific question. I'd like a specific answer. The president has the State Department. He's got the CIA. He's got the Pentagon. He's got a number of other agencies. Why did he use three private lawyers to get information on Biden from the Ukrainian government rather than go through all of the agencies of his government?
Two different points. Number one.
How about answering my question?
John Durham, as you know.
Wait a minute. John Durham is investigating something completely different. Stephen, I'm asking you a direct question. Why did the president use private attorneys rather than go to the State Department? If you don't know, that's an acceptable answer, but let's not talk about John Durham, who's investigating the Trump investigation.
There's two issues that were brought up
on the
phone
call. I'm not asking two issues. Why did he do it?
Chris, I understand that you have your question. I have my answer. There's two issues that were brought up in the phone call.
You have your non-answer at this point.
That's White House advisor Stephen Miller, unable to answer a question by Fox News' Chris Wallace. In other news, a Sikh-American police officer named Sandeep Dhaliwal was fatally shot in Houston, Texas on Friday. Dhaliwal was a 10-year veteran of the force and wore the traditional Sikh turban. He was the first observant Sikh to become a sheriff's deputy in Harris County. He was shot by one of two suspects during a routine traffic stop. The encounter was apparently not provocative, and the suspect appears to have shot him in the back. 47-year-old Robert Solis has been arrested. Dhaliwal was known for building bridges between law enforcement and Houston's Sikh community. The New York Times published an extensive and disturbing study about the explosion of internet images showing child abuse. According to the article, quote, last year, tech companies reported over 45 million online photos and videos of children being sexually abused, more than double what they had found the previous year. Reporters interviewed survivors of abuse whose images are still being spread online and found, quote, many of the survivors and their families said their view of humanity had been inextricably changed by the crimes themselves and the online demand for images of them. On Friday, a second wave of climate strikes took place in cities around the world, coming just 1 week after the historic September 20th climate strike that broke records. On September 27th, a whopping 6.6 million people marched in thousands of cities around the world. That's 2.5 million more than on September 20th. Canadian cities in particular mobilized last Friday, with 500,000 people marching in Montreal alone in an event led by Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg. Saudi Arabia's Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman gave an interview to 60 Minutes on Sunday, during which he took, quote, full responsibility for the murder of dissident journalist Jamal Khashoggi, because his members of his government were found to have brutally murdered him.
Did you order the murder of Jamal Khashoggi?
Absolutely not. This was a heinous crime. But I take full responsibility as a leader in Saudi Arabia, especially since it was committed by individuals working for the Saudi government.
What does that mean, that you take responsibility?
When a crime is committed against a Saudi citizen by officials working for the Saudi government, as a leader, I must take responsibility. This was a mistake, and I must take all actions to avoid such a thing in the future.
Khashoggi's fiancé, Hatice Cengiz, wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post on Monday, the first anniversary of Khashoggi's death. In it, she wrote, quote, the true perpetrators are known the world over and extend to the highest levels of the Saudi government. And finally, mass uprisings are taking place in numerous countries the world over. In Hong Kong, the 17th week of protest against Chinese domination is timed to coincide with commemorations of China National Day. Tens of thousands marched on Sunday in Russia to demand the unfair persecutions of dissidents. Mass protests are taking place in Indonesia on Monday against the government's efforts to pass bills restricting freedoms. And Haitian President Jovenel Moïse is facing a serious uprising, calling for him to step down over corruption and an economic crisis. And that does it for our news headlines today.